All right. We got some cool things to share today. Let's go to the first slide. I was very interested. Mike and, let's see, Tracy and Helen and Jerry and myself went down to, ended up in Lincoln, and we went into Mike's room to pray for him. And I don't know if I told you this. This is like awesome, you know. So a week ago Tuesday, we went into his room to pray for him, and he flipped it on us. He started praying for us before we got to pray for him. I thought, what is going on? Okay, we'll wait till you're finished praying for us. Then we're going to pray for you. And we did have an opportunity to lay hands on him. But he flipped it on us. That's kind of like Pastor Mike, right? And this was really cool. There was a guy that knocked on the door to pick up the trash. His name was Sam. And he was picking up the trash in the room. Sam, the trash man. Okay? And he walked over to get the stuff out of the trash bin right next to Mike. And Mike said, so he didn't look like he was, he looked different. He looked like he was Middle Eastern. Okay? And so Mike said, hey, where are you from? And he said, Iraq. And I said, ooh, Persian. Salam alaikum. And he looked up. He said, how do you know that? I said, I have many Muslim friends. I read the Injil every day. He goes, really? I said, yeah, I read the Injil every day. How about you? And then we talked to him a little bit. We said that we believe in one God and we're followers of Jesus. And he was very interested. He talked a little bit, and then he took the trash and he went out of the room, down the hall. And we sat and visited for a little bit, and then there was a knock on the door. And it was Sam the trash man. And we opened the door of the hospital room, and Sam said, there's something in this room. It's like a magnet to me. I have to come back in. Can I come back in? It's like a magnet drawing me. We said, well, come on in, Sam. And he stood there for a little bit, and we chatted, and he said, it's like a magnet. I don't know what it is. We said, well, we believe that it's God. And God's calling you into a relationship with him. He said that he was a Muslim. And we chatted a bit, and I said, Sam, we want to bless you. And he was standing close to the door and against the wall. And so I said, everybody, just stretch out your hands to Sam, and we'll just bless him here while he's standing here. We prayed for more truth to come. We blessed him and his family. And we said, amen. And we told him again that we're followers of Jesus and we believe in one God. And he didn't move. He was stuck to the wall. Like I was just stuck in my chair. And I thought, he's not moving. He was stuck to the wall. And so he chatted a little bit. He told us some accounts of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, Isa, from the Quran. He just shared things with us. But he couldn't move away from the wall. And I had my hand, he kept sharing, and we kept talking. And I had my hand on the door, and I started to open the door. And he still stuck to the wall. I said, whoa, you guys. This guy is experiencing God right here in the room, and he can't get off the wall. I had the door open about a foot, and he's still standing next to the wall, just stuck to the wall. We just saw God move on his heart and just open his heart a bit. He didn't decide to follow Jesus then, but I said, listen, if you have the Injil, I want you to read the section called Luke. Read that section, and it will mean a lot to you. His eyes got this big. He said, when I first came to America, I was in San Diego. I had no food, no clothes. My clothes were worn out. And there was a Christian pastor that gave me clothes and then gave me food. And he gave me a copy of the Injil. And when he looked at me, he gave it to me. He said, I want you to read Luke. I said, you have the Injil. It's in my car. I said, you need to read Luke. He said, I will, I will. Then he came off of the wall and went out the door. But it was kind of interesting. The Holy Spirit was just a magnet to him, drawing him in to the room so we could share more and pray for him. So Sam the Trash Man. That's a good testimony, huh? Okay, are we still? Last week I talked about the attitude of gratitude. Are you still moving in the attitude of gratitude? You're thankful for everything? Are we thankful to God for Pastor Mike? Let's give God a hand clap. Let's clap. God, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We applaud him because we are seeing a supernatural recovery, not a natural recovery. A supernatural recovery. And we're moving in the attitude of gratitude because of that too, right? Yeah? Okay. Grateful for supernatural recovery. Next, let's look here. July 4th, this weekend, April 1775, the Revolutionary War begins. And July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. Thomas Jefferson wrote most of that. But after that day, then the war really started, because when England saw the Declaration of Independence, they said, ooh, this is not good. And they came right down from Canada and sailed into New York and pushed the Continental Army back. They lost every battle. The Battle of Brooklyn, they lost it. They kept losing battles until December 25th, where they finally won the Battle of Trenton. That was a turning point. And then they pushed back north. That was George Washington crossing the Delaware at that time. A couple of times crossed the Delaware River. But I thought of this. I thought, you know, these guys endured. They had a lot of endurance. They had endurance. And so I started looking up scriptures about endurance. And as we go to the next one, Hebrews 10:36, this says, you need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will. Isn't that good? And then you will receive the promise in full. The poetry of God's will. I love that. Okay, the poetry of God's will. So I started looking up the word endurance, and I found other scriptures, but I said, this must mean something. You know, I'm thinking, when I think of endurance, I think of, you know, I'm going to endure. But that's not what it means at all. The original meaning of the word endurance in this verse and the ones I'm going to share with you is cheerful patience. Cheerful patience. Whoa, that is not what I thought it meant. It doesn't mean, but it means cheerful patience. And then in many other places in the Bible, it's translated patient endurance. Cheerful patience or patient endurance. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. I got a couple of more verses here I wanted to share. And I put in the word cheerful patient endurance in the section where it would say endurance. Okay? Hebrews 6:12. Don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm. Okay, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go dull. And we don't want to lose our enthusiasm. But follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and their cheerful, patient endurance. Okay? Cheerful, patient endurance. Okay? When I think of cheerful, you probably got a smile on your face. Whatever you're going through. All right, the next one. This is good. And then I've got a testimony I want to share with you here, too. It says, this is Romans 5, 3, 4, 5. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us cheerful, patient endurance. Our pressures can develop cheerful, patient endurance if we let them. Let the pressures develop this in us. And Romans, the fourth verse says, and cheerful, patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And 5:5, my mother always used to quote this verse. Romans 5:5, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. I love that. Because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Isn't that good? We can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I thought, oh, this is good. Sure, we got some pressures, but we need to have cheerful patience as we endure those pressures. And we'll see the poetry of God's will being worked out in our lives. Very important then, cheerful patience, endurance. I took a team one time to Bangladesh, and we were working in the capital city of Dhaka. How many of you been to Bangladesh? Okay, we did our training in Hong Kong. How many of you been to Hong Kong? Okay, we got a few. Yeah, there we go. So we were training in Hong Kong, and then we went to Bangladesh, working in the capital city. Bangladesh is just east of India. It used to be East Pakistan, but they got freedom in 71, and now they're called Bangladesh. So they were they're kind of attached to India, so they're very similar to Bengal, India, Calcutta. They're very similar culture. Very crowded, but it's 99% Muslim when I was there with this team. We had a team of about 10. And we were just moving around Dhaka, Bangladesh, the capital city, just sharing with people about Jesus. It wasn't too friendly because it's 99% Muslim. It wasn't so friendly. And we met a pastor, and he said, you know, I'm working with a Hindu village, and would you come and do your programs in a Hindu village? It's on the Ganges River, so we'll have to take boats to get there. And we went to the Lord as a team, and we prayed about it, and God seemed to say, I want you to go to that Hindu village. So we said, okay, Lord, we will go. So we called the pastor, and he said, yeah, I'll pick you up. He picked us up in a van and a pickup, and we went out to where we would get on these banana boats. They're like a long canoe that hold 10 people. You have to sit in a line, 10 people. And we had two of them because we had all of our people going with and all of our helpers and our sound system and everything. Now, we were, we always wore colorful costumes, all right? So, and we didn't want to have our costumes, so we just brought our smocks, which were very colorful. Just put them on over our clothes. So you didn't need a place to change your clothes. You just put the big smock on and you're bright, all different colors, bright colors. Colors of the rainbow. Oh yeah, that's nice. The seven spirits of God who sit before the throne. So we would do that, and we got on these boats, and I looked at the guy running the motor, because they were like a big canoe, long canoe, really narrow. And the guy has got the motor on the back of it, but he's also got a bucket in front of him. I said, I wonder what he's got that bucket for. Well, I found out when we started going down the river. He's dipping out water from the banana boat. That's what the bucket's for. The other boat had the same thing. The guy driving the motor keeps the bucket and keeps emptying the boat of water. So we went down the Ganges River for a bit, and we came to this island. And we got out of the boat, and we were experiencing some stomach problems. How can I explain this? Explosive stomach problems. We came into the village, and this village was a Hindu village, and they worship a elephant god called Ganesh. Ganesh is the elephant god. And the elephant god sits on his rear with his four legs stretched out this way, and then his trunk is in the air. So he sits up. So we went into the center of the village, and here's the elephant god Ganesh, about 15 feet tall. Okay, and the pastor says, here, just set up your microphones and sound system in front of Ganesh. And I said, are you sure? We don't want to offend the people here, because we usually don't do that. He said, no, this village, I've been here a few times. And so we set it up right in front of Ganesh, the elephant god. And we began to sing some songs and share testimonies like this morning. Testimonies like this morning. We shared testimonies of what God had done in our lives. We'd come from many different nations. We were all foreigners. And we did some dances for them. And during our presentation, many people would have to leave quickly. They say, I'll be right back. And they find another place in the village because of their explosive stomach problems. And as we started our gospel drama, in the gospel drama, we have a place where Jesus is nailed to a cross, and then he falls down, is buried, and raises again from the dead. We got the gospel message in there, right? So we have the gospel message, but after Jesus was nailed to the cross in the drama, and then the other people are dancing around because they're happy that they nailed Jesus to the cross, Jesus on the cross says, I'll be right back. Comes off the cross, runs back in the village, and then comes back a couple of minutes later. Fortunately, we just kind of ad-libbed in there where our people kept just dancing around. And then finally he shows up again. He gets back up on the cross. You know, it's just not a literal cross, but he's up there with his arms stretched out. And we finish the gospel drama, and then we preach about it. And we ask the Hindus, does anyone here want to follow Jesus today? And we asked like three times. And no one wanted to follow Jesus in the village. And so we talked a little bit. We said, well, let's maybe pray for the sick. So we said, if anyone is not feeling well, just come forward. We'll pray for you in the name of Jesus. People came forward, and we set up in our teams, and we started praying for them. And no one was healed. No one believed in Jesus in the Hindu village, and nobody was healed. We left kind of discouraged, but we knew that God had told us. When the pastor invited us, we had prayed, and God said, I want you to go to that village. So we got back on our banana boats to go back to our pickup place on the road. And we sat there, and we were a little discouraged, but we put it off to this. We said, hey, we don't know what's going to happen. We couldn't see everything that's happening. Jesus told us to go there. We obeyed, and we can rejoice that we obeyed. And even when we can't see him working, he's working. And even when we can't feel him working, he's working. And we can trust that. We went back into Dhaka, the capital city, and we stayed there a couple more days. Then we went down into India. That was our next stop in India. And we just put it off to, hey, we obeyed Jesus, and we didn't see anything, but he's working. We know that. Now, sometimes when God's working in our lives or working around us, we can't see it for a period of time, right? I kind of like to see stuff now. I'm a now guy. All right, that's who I am. I'm a now guy. And sometimes you just don't see things. Well, we didn't send another team back into Bangladesh for some time. But a few years later, we had opportunity, and the Lord brought up Bangladesh again. So we sent another drama and dance team in, colorful costumes. And it was quite a few years later, about 7. And they were working in Dhaka. And all of a sudden, a guy walked up to him and said, are you from... a Hong Kong group? The Hong Kong group here? He said, yeah, we're from Hong Kong. Our leader said, we're from Hong Kong. Do you know Joe and Nancy? Yes, they're our leaders in Hong Kong. They trained us to come here. Why had them come with me to a village on the Ganges River 7 years ago? You have to tell them this. You have to give a report. Is that okay? Yeah, what happened? And here's what he said. Well, after they were there, we didn't see much happen in the village, but I came back to the village 1 week later. And I got the elders together, and they said, we're so glad you came. We have questions. We sat down. We drank some tea. And they said, after that foreign team left, we have not slept for 7 days, and we have questions. Would you answer our questions? He said, I'd be glad to. And he answered questions all day, and they drank tea all day, and they had a meal. The end of the meal, and at the end of the tea, and at the end of the day, all the elders gave their lives to Jesus. 1 week after we were there. 1 week. And we didn't know this until 7 years later. We had just said, Lord, we just obeyed you. We don't know what you're going to do, but do something. All the elders came to Jesus that time with the pastor. And over the next month, all of the village decided to follow Jesus. So the Hindu village took down Ganesh, the elephant god, put it aside, put up a cross, and started worshiping Jesus there and having Bible studies there in that village. We see that God was working powerfully, even though we didn't know it or see it or feel it. God was working. And we heard many years later, we don't know all that God is doing with all that we're doing. As we're enduring things, as we're moving forward with cheerful patience, okay, as we move forward with cheerful patience, with endurance, God is working. The same as last week, as we move forward in an attitude of gratitude, God is working. Our Christian character, just living our Christian lives and expressing our Christian character, it has a cumulative effect on our environment, wherever we are. A couple years ago, Nancy and I were going to some meetings, and we went walking through the airport in Hong Kong, and somebody yelled out, "Hey, Joe!" And I turned over, and we saw the leader of Bangladesh, our mission in Bangladesh. He said, come over here. And so we went over, and he said, I'm just on the layover here. I'm waiting for a plane into Japan. I just came from Bangladesh. And he said, sit down and drink some coffee with me. So we were drinking coffee. He's a big Samoan guy. He's from Samoa, working in Bangladesh. Okay, and we chatted for a bit. And he said, oh, I was at your church last week. We said, well, what do you mean? Your church. The one you started on the island out on the Ganges River that used to be Hindu. I was just there. Yeah, I go there once a month and preach. Pray for the people. They're growing. The village is growing. The people are following Jesus in that village. I said, this is just amazing. We don't know the effects that we have as we live our Christian lives with endurance. Environments change. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. I got a couple more verses and then we'll close. 2 Peter, so devote yourself to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness. This is how we mix up our character. It's like baking a cake, all right? Supplement your faith with goodness. And to goodness, add understanding. And to understanding, add strength of self-control. Just mix it in there, okay? Mix it in there. And to self-control, add cheerful, patient endurance. And we can add it. And to cheerful, patient endurance, add godliness. Add. Just keep adding these things to the mix of our character, our Christian character of our lives. Keep adding these things. Like we're baking a cake, all right? Keep adding these ingredients. All right? Let's see. Do I have another one? Oh, we got prayer and action. All right, here's the prayer. Here's the action. I believe that the Lord wants to add. You know, we can add ourselves. We add the patient, cheerful endurance to our lives. We can add that ourselves, but God wants to supernaturally add some. Okay, so that's the addition right now. It's an impartation. God's going to just add it to our lives, right where we're sitting. And wherever your cheerful, patient endurance level is now, he's going to bring that up a notch. So that we can influence people around us, okay? So that we can be those people that are light and salt in our environment. We need cheerful, patient endurance. And we call it an impartation. And in Chinese, we would say a chuan di. Chuan di. And how much do you have to pay for a chuan di or an impartation? How much do you have to pay for that? What's it cost? It's free. I love God. I love God and the free things that He helps us with in our lives every day. Every day. So this is it. Here's our prayer. And then the action is going to be on your part to go out and have more cheerful, patient endurance. Okay? But He's going to increase it in you. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for what You're doing in our lives. Lord, we're moving in the attitude of gratitude. You teach us so much from Your Word, God. And we want to walk in it. And we want to see our environment change. So Lord, we ask for that impartation now of cheerful, patient endurance. Not the growling kind, but we want the cheerful, patient endurance that You offer to us. Lord, we add it to the character mix that You've given us. We add it. We add it to it. And Lord, we ask You to add more. Add more to that. I see a picture in my mind here. It's just a word of encouragement, a prophetic word. I see a hand. I think it's God's hand. It comes down and it pulls a curtain back. It pulls a curtain back. And I sense that God is saying, I'm going to reveal new things to you. I'm going to show you new things in My Word. I'm going to show you new things about Me. I am pulling the curtain back for you. I'm pulling the curtain back. And I'm revealing new things for each of you. Each of you. I'm revealing new things about Myself to you. My character. I'm revealing new things from My Word to you. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the new things that I'm revealing to you. Walk in the new things that I'm revealing to you. Change the environment around you as I reveal new things to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to, if I'm going to give Pastor Mike the microphone, and he can give us the benediction. Is that okay? From right there. And we will receive it. Put your hands on it. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace, His shalom, His health, His peace, and His prosperity, and His cheerful, patient endurance. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. Thank you.